There's nothing quite as brilliant as a good night's sleep for mental and physical health. But what if your schedule's all over the place, or you work the graveyard shift each night and sleep during the day? Joining me for some advice for shift workers and night owls is a sleep and psychology researcher from UniSA. It's Dr. Stephanie Centofanti. Hey there, Stephanie. How you doing?
Well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And we speak so much about diet and exercise, but sleep has extraordinary implications for well-being and health, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. As you say, we kind of focus a lot on diet and exercise, but sleep is that third pillar of health that doesn't get as much attention, and we don't tend to prioritise it as much as other health behaviours like healthy diet and regular exercise. And it can lead to quite a lot of different issues if we're not getting enough sleep over the long term. So trying to prioritise sleep is really important.
What sort of issues are those, Stephanie?
So in the short term, if you're not getting enough sleep, this can lead to impaired performance. So basically our ability to remain attentive throughout the day and remember new information, make decisions and even be creative can be impaired. Also, our ability to cope with stress and anxiety, particularly at the moment, that is quite important. And just our ability to communicate and regulate our mood and emotion can all be affected by not getting enough sleep. Physical symptoms can occur as well. So our immune system is impacted by sleep, our digestion, muscle recovery, metabolism, pain. So lots and lots of effects of not getting enough sleep.
How does shift work or a disturbance in sleep patterns impact someone's health?
So shift work can really affect someone's health because shift workers who are doing night shift are essentially trying to stay awake at the time when their body is designed to be asleep. As humans, we have a 24-hour body clock and our hormones and all of our body systems are promoting us to be alert and active during the day and sleepy at night. But of course, shift workers are kind of forced to try and sleep during the day. So that can really make them more prone to a whole range of health issues like those I just mentioned. And we also see in shift workers that in the long term, they're at greater risk for things like developing type 2 diabetes or sleep disorders or mood disorders. And this is basically because they're not getting enough sleep over the long term and they're staying awake at a time when they're meant to be asleep, essentially. So it kind of deregulates the body a bit, and this can lead to lots of different health and performance deficits.
With me at the moment is sleep and psychology researcher from UniSA, Dr. Stephanie Centofanti. You've been doing some research about caffeine and naps. Tell us about what you've discovered.
Yeah, so we looked at what we're referring to as a CAFNAP, which is essentially having a cup of coffee right before you have a power nap. And the reason we looked at this is because we know that a lot of people avoid taking naps because when they wake up, they tend to feel quite groggy and horrible and almost worse than they did before they had the nap. If you're at home during the day having a nap, this isn't as much of an issue. But for shift workers who are napping during the night shift, they often have to go straight back to work and make really important decisions. And that's really quite dangerous sometimes if their performance is impaired after the nap. So the idea was by having a cup of coffee right before the nap, the alerting effects of the caffeine, which usually take about 20 to 30 minutes, would coincide with waking up from the nap and reduce some of that grogginess or what we call sleep inertia.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic. I find it difficult psychologically, though, to get to sleep, especially if I've just downed some coffee and I'm thinking, I've got to go to sleep, go to sleep. Any tips?
Yeah, I think there is a psychological component that comes into it because we associate coffee with being alert. For some shift workers, it gets to that point on the night shift where it doesn't matter because they're just so tired that it's super easy to fall asleep. But yeah, for some people who are more sensitive to caffeine, it might not be the most effective kind of countermeasure. And also we know that people vary in their ability to take naps. So some people can nap really easily anywhere, anytime, and other people can't nap unless they're, you know, at home in their own bed. So it's really about figuring out what works best for you. if you're not great at napping, even having, you know, a 10 or 20 minute lie down with your eyes closed can be quite helpful for performance and alertness. So it's really trying to not stress about not being able to fall asleep, because obviously that makes it harder to fall asleep, and just, you know, reminding yourself that it's good to have a bit of time out, and, you know, even just lying there with your eyes closed can be quite refreshing.
Permission.
You're taking the pressure off.
Yeah, you're giving yourself permission to not go to sleep, I guess. I like that.
Yeah.
There are different views on this, but how do you feel about, for example, I get up at 4 o'clock each morning during the week to do the local news bulletin. So sometimes I have a sleep deficit and then I'll make up for it on the weekend. I know it's not the same as getting a good 8 hours each night, but does it help to get a, you know, 10 or 11 hours on a Friday night if you are feeling very tired?
Yeah, I think with that sort of schedule where you do have quite a big sleep deficit by the end of the week, if you do have that opportunity to have a nice long sleep, then that's not going to be a bad thing. What can become an issue is if you're having massive sleep-ins, for instance, over the weekends, and then you find that you can't sleep, say, on the Sunday night before you have to go to work.
Yep.
And it just becomes a bit of a cycle. So it's similar, again, to jet lag. If you know you're about to change time zone, it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to start adjusting the day or two before that you're going back to work or going to travel, for instance. But Friday night, a huge recovery sleep can be quite beneficial.
And any final tips about what maybe a shift worker could do to improve their chances of feeling well?
We've started doing a lot of research into the timing of food intake, and so our findings so far suggest that avoiding having big meals on the night shift is quite beneficial for cognitive performance and also glucose metabolism. So really sticking to light snacks or trying to avoid eating altogether on the night shift is advisable. Of course, if you're hungry, having a snack is okay, but really trying to keep your food intake to the daytime hours where possible seems to be quite beneficial for the performance and health. Also, avoiding caffeine for the 6 hours before you plan to go to bed, because it can stay in your system for that long, and keeping alcohol to a minimum as well. We also know that people who regularly exercise seem to have deeper sleep, so even though it's quite difficult for shift workers in particular to find time to exercise, it can be really helpful for getting a good night's or good day's sleep.
Well, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for joining me.
No worries.